Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett, and that's our new and improved intro to the show. I would love to hear feedback on Twitter or on the forums to what you thought about it, as I had to come up with something since our previous intro had our previous head coach in it as we move on Jet Nation Radio. And Joe, I think I had a tear down my eye when I did that, but it's okay. We move on. We've got a great show for you tonight as Christian Dyer from Metro New York will join us to provide updates on the search process. Doug Marrone, Dan Quinn, Todd Bowles, who is going to be the next coach of the New York Jets? First off, I want to apologize right off the bat for my sore throat that I've been battling here for about a week and a half now. As it seems like everybody in everybody in the country is getting sick this time of the year. But nonetheless, we'll battle through it. And my man Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great right now. You know, my Devils are up 3-0, so I'm having a good day. The last week has been pretty confusing, Brennan. I know you've been following it, but it seems like, you know, we're trying to follow all these reporters and all these analysts and which coach is going where, who's interviewing with who. But it seems like, you know, one guy says Marrone had a bad interview. One guy said he has a good one. One guy says, you know, an interview is Wednesday. Then another comes out, said it's Saturday or Friday. So, you know, it's been very tough to follow all this, but we're going to break it down, I guess, as best as we can. But, you know, it's an exciting week. I'm definitely happy with the coaching search so far. And I think it's been, you know, a very interesting process so far.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a tremendous process. And one thing that I thought was very interesting is obviously the big thing is Marrone getting thrown into the mix here, because this was a guy that we're in a position where when the season ended, nobody thought that he was going to leave the Buffalo Bills. It was under nobody's impression that he was going anywhere. They knew about this interesting opt-out in his contract, but nobody ever made anything of it. It wasn't like, you know, he was going to be a hot, you know, candidate coming out on leaving Buffalo. So it's kind of like it threw, you know, a big wrench in this entire process, because I am one of the people that believe, you know, I understand, you know, where people are coming from, where, you know, Doug Marrone, you know, quit on Syracuse, quit on Buffalo now, you know, hasn't really done anything in terms of being a head coach. First off, I disagree with that. I think Doug Marrone leading the Buffalo Bills to a winning season after for the first time in 10 years, nonetheless, the first time the Buffalo Bills were led to a winning season in 10 years in just his second year there. So I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to say that's not an accomplishment. That's my first thing. The Jets are better off right now going in a direction of a guy who has been a head coach in this league and nonetheless a guy who has been a head coach in this division. You know, obviously he hasn't done too well against Tom Brady and the Patriots, but he's played them, you know, four times in the past 2 years. He knows what to expect when going up against the Patriots. He knows what to expect when going up against the Miami Dolphins. Obviously knows what to expect when he goes up against a team that he coached. So I think the best option right now for the Jets has to be Marrone. And the reason why I say that is because you need a guy who's going to provide, you know, experience as a head coach. And I look at guys like Dan Quinn. I look at guys like, you know, Bowles. And you wonder, is this an organization that is in the position to hire a coordinator with no head coaching experience? I don't think they are. I think as a fan, if I looked at it and said, okay, who are the best options right now out there? I would say they're Rex Ryan and Doug Marrone. And, of course, if you want to throw Mike Shanahan into the loop, he's obviously a wild card, but he's in a different category than everybody out there. He's Mike Shanahan. So I look at Doug Marrone as a positive because it's another option for the Jets, and I think it really could be their top choice, and it could be their best choice going. going forward. What do you think, Joe?
I don't necessarily agree that it's their best choice. I'm still going to put Quinn and Bowles above him, but I definitely agree that he's definitely a good choice. He's better than guys, like we've been hearing, like Cable and guys like that. So why would you put
Quinn and Bowles over Doug Marrone when those guys have never had coach before ever?
Oh, well, you see what they do with their defense. You see what Bowles did with his defense, even though the Cardinals were embarrassed, and that's another game I lost to you, but they only had 78 yards, but that's the story for later.
We will get to that later on in the show.
Don't worry. I know we will get to that. But, you know, you see what Bowles does with his defense. You see how he puts his guys in places to succeed. And the same thing with Quinn. Obviously, he is on a great team. He already has great talent. The only thing he really did was take, I think they were ranked number 4 or 5, and they went up to number 1. So he took that defense to the very, very tippy top from almost the top. So they both have great defenses. But the thing with that is you're also going to have to – it's basically going to be like having two head coaches again. With, you know, having to get an offensive coordinator who's basically going to have just as much control, because we saw with Rex Ryan, you know, he basically just stood on the defensive sideline or went to the defensive practices the whole year. So we're basically going to have to hire an offensive coordinator, who we really trust. So that scares me a little bit about it. But yeah. To answer your question, no, I just really like what they do with their defense. There's arguments against Marrone, and I understand them. He went 25-25 in Syracuse. He quit on them. He quit on the Bills, but I don't think it was really him quitting on the Bills. You know, everybody says that he just up and left them, but it was really because, you know, he obviously had an opt out in his contract for a reason, and that reason happened with the owner dying, passing away. I don't even know when it was. I feel like it was sometime in summer, maybe a little bit before training camp.
Yeah.
It was somewhere around that area. I forget exactly when, but that happened. The owner passed away. He's not too sure if he's going to be there next year or the year after that. So he's going to take his $4 million guaranteed dollars. He's going to get a job with another team. So I understand that. So I don't worry about the whole quitting on his team's thing.
Well, here's my question too. Here's my question to you again, Joe. Sorry to cut you off, but here's my question to you. Do you think there's some type of – because originally, and still some reports out there, is that Doug Marrone left the Buffalo Bills because he wants to become the head coach of the New York Jets. So does that make you want to see him the head coach of the Jets even more? Where you see a guy who, you know, is a Bronx native from the area, you know, was on the Jets staff, I believe, in the early 2000s. So, I mean, are you looking at a guy who has a previous history in the area, previous history with the Jets organization, who basically opted out and said, look, you know, I want to come here. And immediately, as soon as he opted out, the Jets were announced the favorites to land him. So, obviously, they might have had some conversation. Woody Johnson comes out and says, this is great news. Doug Marrone's opted out. Do you think that Doug Marrone, you know, wanting to be the head coach and wanting to take on this challenge and coach this team and be a part of this organization, do you think that that gives him a little bit of an edge with the fans more so than the front office?
Well, I'm not sure about other fans. I guess it gives him a little bit of an edge to me. Well, only a tiny bit. You know, obviously I'm going to say I want the best coach in here. And if I think that Quinn or Bowles is a better coach than Marrone, I'm obviously going to take them. But yeah, if I see a guy who is a Bronx native or whatever town you said, I believe you said Bronx, right? So I'll be happy if he gets the job and I get to see him thrive in his area and he's all happy about it and stuff, but I'm still going to want Bowles and Quinn over him. It doesn't matter if he was here before. I want the best coach, the guy who's going to do the best job here. So to answer your question, yeah, a little bit, but not enough to hire him over a guy like Bowles or Quinn.
You know, I agree with you, but I still think that Quinn is one of the most biggest overrated coaches out there because, again, I'll take Jerry behind the scenes. You and myself, we'll go out there, we'll put our Xbox headsets on, and we'll go coach that defense with all the talent out there. I don't see that as a guy being I don't see him being able to come in here and produce the same results without that type of talent. But before I jump into that, I wanted to just say something here on the show here. You know, as young broadcasters, as, you know, Joe and myself are, you know, one thing that we always do is we always look at the talent around us in this industry, especially in radio and television. And I think everybody in the sports world, and especially in sports broadcasting, was really affected, you know, by the loss of Stuart Scott this past week. And I just kind of wanted to take a moment here on Jet Nation Radio and for JetNation.com and offer, you know, our condolences to his family, and just say, you know, growing up, especially as a kid, you know, you'll never forget a voice like that. Every time you turn on the TV, you watch SportsCenter, you watch ESPN, you think of Stuart Scott. And so I just wanted to mention that and give, you know, from our site, from our, you know, our fans here at Jet Nation Radio, and from our family to Stuart's, we want to offer our condolences, especially to him, his family, and his daughters. And just kind of wanted to throw that out there tonight, Joe.
Yeah, it was definitely really heartbreaking news. You know, I remember as a kid, and I'm not too far off from being a kid, I'm only 21 years old, but I remember, you know, when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, waking up every day, eating cereal and watching SportsCenter, and that guy, you know, going back to his, you know, flip it over to the cool side of the pillow, or I'm not sure exactly how it goes, but, you know, he was a great, yeah. Great. He was a great anchor on SportsCenter. He brought a new, you know, persona there. Before he got there, it wasn't like relaxed and how it is now, and he really brought that to them. So he's a great in that. He's a great anchor. He was a great man, and you know, it was definitely really sad, and you know, have to offer your condolences to his family. It's a really sad moment for them, and you just got to pray for them.
Absolutely, man. You know, that's one of the best in the business. And if you didn't see Rich Eising's touching moment on NFL Network,
In
his dedication, I mean, that's some moving stuff here, because, you know, we talk sports here on Jet Nation Radio, but there's always something bigger than talking sports. But let's go back into talking sports here, Joe, as we're going to be joined shortly by Christian Dyer from Metro New York, who's going to talk to us about the search for a GM and a head coach. Now, we know about Doug Marrone. We know about Bowles. We know about Quinn. There are some wild card names that have been thrown in the mix. One of them is Jim Mora Jr. That right there honestly makes me cringe when I hear that name and connect it to the New York Jets. I think that would be a disaster. I can't even say disaster enough on the show to describe a move like that. You can't go in that direction. You have to be able... why don't we just do this? If the Jets really want to give everybody stomach pains out there, give their fan base agita, as they say in Italian, let's just get Jim Mora, Norv Turner, and Wade Phillips in a room with Gary Kubiak too. Have them all sit down together, and we can just have a failed head coach interview room is what we'll do to get people. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense, and they need to focus on guys. You know, even though I say he's, you know, I think he's overrated as a coach, you got Quinn, you got Bowles, you even have Marrone. You can't be going after these veteran head coaches who have proved to do nothing but lose. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Leave the Gary Kubiaks of the world alone. Leave Jim Mora Jr. Leave those. Let those guys do what they're doing. They're doing well in it. Do you know why they're doing well in it? Because they're not capable head coaches. Leave Tom Cable in doing what he's doing. The reason why these guys aren't head coaches is because you can't bring in somebody who got fired, okay? Why would we bring a head coach? Oh, you were fired at your last head coaching job, so why not come in and coach the Jets? No, that's not what you want to do. You want to bring in a guy who's hungry, who's ready to lead this team, and that's going to start, obviously, with the reports that we saw this week that they want to hire a general manager first. And I think that that's the good move. I think that, you know, the fans are going to, you know, you're going to hear it overplayed. Well, the GM needs to pick his coach. The GM needs to pick his coach. I get it. The Jets need to get a general manager in place who needs to put his philosophy in place in terms of what type of team he wants to build, what type of locker room he wants to build going forward there. So I think that the GM has to be put in place first, and let the GM, kind of dictate who his guy is.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying about all that, but the thing with Kubiak is I'm not necessarily, I don't want him, per se. I don't think he should be the first option about. I don't think I'm as low on him as you are. We obviously saw last week what he did against the Steelers, and Joe Flacco is having one of his best years, and then he had a
Texans.
Yeah,
great offensive coordinator. Stay as an offensive coordinator. Great off Norv Turner. Championship offensive coordinator, terrible head coach. Gary Kubiak, great assistant coach, not a good head coach.
Oh, well, the other thing about it, too, that he had the Texans, as a top-tier team for a couple of years there, too. So I'm not saying that he's my number one choice or maybe even in my top three or four or five, but I definitely think you can do.
You're building here.
No, I think you could do a lot worse than him. But the thing with Jim Moore is I saw that too, Brandon, and I basically almost ripped my eyes out when I was seeing that. But then a couple hours later, I don't know if you saw it, but there's a couple of reports that was false, and Jim Moore is also denying it. So I think that was really just some of these beat reporters and some of these guys trying to stir the pot up a little bit and get Jets fans to go crazy because we're not in the season anymore, and they're trying to get clicks. So the whole Jim Moore thing, that's complete crap. That's never going to happen. They never contacted each other, or maybe they did, but, they're not meeting, and it's not imminent that they're, going to try to get him. So Jim Moore, you can basically cross him off your list because he is not coming to the Jets, and thank God, because I do not think that guy's a good coach either, and that would be the worst possible thing that the organization can do. But with the whole GM and head coaching thing, I think that you should hire a GM first. But the only problem with that, Brandon, is if the Jets are all in on Dan Quinn, and that's what I'm hearing right now. At first, I heard it was all in on Marone, and Marone is basically hired here, and we're just waiting for him to sign a contract and blah blah blah. But as of right now, we interviewed Quinn on Friday, and I heard that he blew the doors off. The Jets interviewees so I think he's a leading candidate as of now, but obviously we don't know because there's so many, there's five to ten reporters reporting just about different things every other day, so you don't really know. But it sounds like he's the leading candidate, and I'm worried that we're going to wait for Dan Quinn, and then all these good GMs are going to go out the door, and one of these GMs that or all the GMs that Dan Quinn prefers to work with aren't going to be there, and then we want to hire Dan Quinn, and then a GM that he wants isn't around, so then Dan Quinn doesn't decide to sign, and that's the thing that worries me about that, Brandon.
Well, how about this, not to change the subject completely, but this is definitely Jets related, as it was announced today. I want to get some feedback from Twitter, from the call line. Again, our call line is open here, 646-716-4697. We'll be talking with Christian Dyer later in the show. Mike Tannenbaum, Mr. T, was announced today. I mean, this just came out of – I didn't hear any buildup reports to this. I didn't hear – this was just came out of nowhere today. Mike Tannenbaum not only was hired by the Miami Dolphins. Now, this is a guy who's been working – I think he's been working, in the agent world since he was fired by the New York Jets. He comes out of the agent world. He doesn't land a general manager job. Oh, no, 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 no. Mr. T is now the executive vice president of football operations for the Miami Dolphins. In his role, he will handle football administration. He reports directly to the owner. The general manager report directly to the GM will report to Tannenbaum, as Mr. T now is in charge of football operations at Miami. As I think every Jet fan is throwing a little bit of a party in hearing that.
Yeah, that's good news because we know Tannenbaum kind of dropped the ball here. He obviously had a great draft in 07 when he drafted DeBrickashaw Ferguson, and then he drafted Mangold. So he had a couple of good drafts here, but from then on out, it was pretty bad drafts. We had some of the worst drafts we've ever had under him. And then, the thing that I was happy about with that, Brandon, is that he was actually Dan Quinn's agent. So you had to wonder if Woody and Tannenbaum really left off on a crappy foot, and Tannenbaum hated Woody, that he would really make it hard for us to acquire Dan Quinn. So it's actually really positive news that he's going to be gone, and he's actually taking the job, I believe, February 1st. But veteran agent Rick Smith is going to be taking over for Tannenbaum, you know, with Dan Quinn. So that's good news for the Jets that we don't have to negotiate with Tannenbaum if we do have to sign Dan Quinn. It actually made me really happy when I saw that a few hours ago.
I just think that's so funny. I mean, I looking at that situation, I mean, Mike Tannenbaum is one slick dude. He gets fired by the Jets. He kind of just chills behind the scenes for a little while, and now he just randomly gets hired as the vice president of football operations for the Dolphins. I mean, that's just – if you want to – you can hate on Mike Tannenbaum all you want. Good for him for landing that job. I mean, I don't know who he impressed to land that position, but that's pretty that is just a it takes your words. You know, there's no words for it. It's amazing. But let's just move on here on Jet Nation Radio. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we hope to hear from Christian Dyer from Metro New York as we continue to talk about the new search for a head coach and general manager. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. Media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Anybody can be beat!
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. Don't forget, I want to hear your thoughts on the new intro for Jet Nation Radio. Send it in on Twitter. We want to know, do you like it? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Talk about it in the forums as well. We want to hear some feedback from our fans out there of Jet Nation Radio. We'll be joined shortly by Christian Dyer to talk about, like I said, the GM and head coach search. Who are the front runners? Christian calls from Metro New York. Joe, I think we all have to look at this head coaching search and GM search and be very satisfied that the New York Jets still have not hired anybody. I think that they are doing a thorough search. It seems like they want to interview every GM candidate out there. You know, it seems like they want to really, really go through this and be thorough with their search and make sure that they're not rushing into anything or rushing into anyone in their search for a general manager and head coach. And I think that's really the best part as a fan looking at this.
Oh yeah, I just want to chime in real quick on your on the new intro, Brandon, since you know we want people on Twitter. And I'll just say I really like it. You know, it got that pump up thing with Bart Scott. It makes me feel like I want to, you know, go for a run or go to the gym or something. You got the old Devils theme song after they score a goal, the old "You Suck" chant. So that pumps me up. You know, you got a whole bunch of good things in there. I really like it. It sounds better, you know, without my name being edited in. So, you know, it's actually really good. It pumps me up a little bit. It gets me ready to talk some Jets football. But you know, yeah, with the thing with us waiting, with the Jets waiting, I'm obviously not a part of the Jets, but you know, with the Jets waiting, I think it's great too. You know, I feel like if a guy like Casserly and a guy like Wolf wasn't here, you know, me and you both know that is not that Isaac, sorry, that Woody would already have jumped on Marone or a guy like that as soon as Marone expressed interest in coming here, because before this it seemed like, or 2 years ago it seemed like that nobody was interested in coming here. So it's definitely a great thing that we're waiting. And I don't even care personally if it's just to interview Quinn. I don't care if we interviewed all these guys and we interviewed all these GMs and we know who we want to hire and we interview all these coaches and we almost know who we want to hire and we're just waiting on Dan Quinn and you know, maybe we have to wait until, I'm not sure exactly the day of the Super Bowl, but whatever Sunday, the first Sunday in February. So I think it's February 1st, 2nd or 3rd, whatever it may be. But if we're waiting an extra month just to hire or just to interview another coach, you know, it really shows that the Jets and Woody Johnson want to get this thing right. And they're really doing their due diligence and you know, interviewing all these players, and all these coaches, and you know, that's what I've been hearing on Twitter all week is the Jets are clueless. They have no idea what they're doing. They're interviewing all these people. They're just throwing random names out there because they don't know what they want. They don't know who they're going after. But you know, I have to completely disagree. I think it's them being very thorough in the process. I think it's them wanting to flip over every stone. They want to interview everybody from, you know, pro personnel guys to guys who get the draft in order to, you know, offensive coaches, to defensive coaches, to mutual coaches. It's just the Jets are doing their due diligence and Jets fans should be very, very happy with how the process has gone about right now. And honestly, I couldn't give Woody any more of a big thumbs up than him right now, Brandon, because, you know, obviously I want a head coach to be hired and I want to see who it is and I want to read all the things about him and what's good and what's bad and, you know, really, really look into it. But if I have to wait a month to get a guy like Quinn, who I'm not necessarily saying is going to be the next coach, I don't even care if it's a Bowles or, you know, a Marone, but as long as they're doing the best job they can and the Jets are doing, you know, as good as they can as with interviewing everybody and really trying to turn over every stone, it's happy. I'm happy, you know, because I'd rather wait a month for a coach than wait another three or four years for a good franchise.
Right. But one thing that they have to be careful with, they really, really have to be careful with is, are you going to get to the point where, you know, you said it before, are you going to be too selective in this process and not jump on a guy? You know, if you have a gut feeling, a lot of times too, you got to go with your gut. If you think that there's somebody, you know, you saying that Dan Quinn went in there, you know, and completely blew the doors off the Jets. Well, if you think that's your guy and you're interviewing all these other candidates and it all comes back to you and says, I really think this is our next head coach. Well, that's going to tell me one thing. You need to go get this guy. You need to not worry about, you know, searching for other candidates. You think this is your guy. You think he's the leader of your franchise. You think he's the next guy to, you know, run your sidelines and run your team. Then go get him. I mean, I understand, and I think it's good that they're being very patient. You're not jumping on anybody. Plus, if you want to hire a guy like Dan Quinn, you might have to wait till after the Super Bowl for, you know, because he's with the Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, Bowles and the Cardinals are out now, so you can go after a guy like that if you want to. But you don't know basically is time, because what they say, you know, in life, time kills all deals. So is being, you know, so thorough, could it come back to bite them? That's the only thing I put in when it comes down to that. But joining us now here on Jet Nation Radio from Metro New York is Jets beat writer Christian Dyer. Christian, how are you?
Good. Sorry I'm calling in a little late, guys.
No worries. Thanks for joining us here tonight.
My pleasure.
Now, Christian, I want to jump right into it with you here. You know,
well, I won't have it any other way.
we've been following this thing as fans as close as we possibly can. We've been seeing, you know, sources all over the place telling us one thing, telling us the other. We are going to put our trust in you here on Jet Nation Radio. What is going on with the search for a new GM and head coach for the New York Jets?
Well, right now it's still all about the Jets doing their due diligence. I know I've seen things out there that have said that contracts have been offered, terms have been discussed. That isn't the case. The people I'm speaking with within the organization are saying that nothing has been offered to anyone as of yet. It seems like that a couple of head coaching candidates have risen to the top. From what I've heard, it's Dan Quinn and Doug Marrone have easily distinguished themselves as the top candidates right now. And I think perhaps we're seeing a slight indication of the Jets' interest in Dan Quinn by the fact that, we've got Mike Tannenbaum here taking the job with the Miami Dolphins, I guess essentially taking himself out of the running for the Jets' job. I had him as a dark horse in all of this, just because that would have written commentary for months upon months, if not years. But I think the fact that Tannenbaum is not taking the job until February 1st is a pretty good indicator that he senses that his client, Dan Quinn, is going to end up somewhere, that there's a payday down the road, and that he wants to be around for that. So, and it would seem like the Jets are probably that first choice for both parties. Quinn knows the Jets know Quinn. As far as hearing anything about Marrone and exactly how he did in the interview process, I'm being told that it wasn't a bomb. People were not as impressed with him as they thought he was going to be. He seemed to have hedged a little bit on some questions and nuanced things where they wanted some clarity, but he didn't do anything to take himself out of the running right now. So right now, it's we're heading down the backstretch. I think the Jets are close on knowing what they want to do for the head coach. And if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was a betting man, it would be Quinn, very closely followed by Marrone as of right now.
Hey, I want to ask you a question about the season and how that went, since I know we haven't talked to you since maybe, I think it was in August or somewhere around that area. But, what were your opinions of Rex and Isaac being fired? Do you think it was unfair that Rex was fired given the cornerback situation and given some of the lack of talent he had in certain areas of the team? And do you think it was unfair for Isaac to be fired, only after 2 years, only after getting two draft classes and having, $40 million in cap space coming up into this free agency? What are your opinions about them being fired?
Well, I'm going to be a little bit of biased because I happen to like both John Idzik and Rex Ryan. In John Idzik, I saw someone who was thoughtful, who I thought had a plan, who was confident in what he wanted to do. The problem was, as good as the plan was, guys, it wasn't well executed, and that led to his execution in many ways. You look at the idea of building through the draft. That's great. But then only one out of 19 picks looks anything like an impact player at this stage in their development from two drafts. I think you're looking and seeing that there's a major issue there. They didn't get any late-round steal. They didn't get anyone who looks like they're going to really be an impact player from kind of those middle rounds on. Undrafted free agents, they've done a very poor job of. And I think that's one thing you could say about Mike Tannenbaum. He did a pretty good job with the undrafted guys. When you look at a Damon Harrison and some of the other ones that have come in, free agency, he failed with the likes of a Mike Goodson, a Dimitri Patterson. I think Chris Johnson was a bit of a failure, too, all things considered, even with his limited role. So there were certainly a lot of strikeouts there as well. You have to look and say, is this team positioned to be a playoff team in the next season or two based off the move that John Idzik's made? And quite frankly, no. They got a lot of contributions from old Tannenbaum guys. It was those guys, in particular, along the defensive line when you look at them, but it was those guys, with the exception of Sheldon Richardson, who carried the team the past couple of years. And I'm probably going to get killed for this, but if you got Mark Sanchez on this roster, you might have another win or two rather than Geno Smith last year, or Mark Sanchez this year over Geno could have been an improvement. And then you talk about Rex. He's handed a team that's probably bottom five in talent in a number of positions in the secondary. I would say probably offensive line, they were bottom half in the league. Quarterback, bottom five. Wide receiver for the first half of the year, bottom five. It's hard to be a playoff team, and Rex can't be faulted for that. The fact that he got four wins, I thought this was a six-week win team, but that he got four wins with this injury situation with D. Milner and everything else, I think this was one of his best coaching jobs. Not only did this team not quit, guys, but seven of their losses by combined 34 points. That's less than two field goals in seven games on average. That's a testament to what a good job that Rex Ryan did. There were some bad losses, two Buffalo losses, San Diego, some of the other losses. After 6 years, perhaps he deserved to be fired. But when you look at this year on an isolated case, it's hard to justify that decision.
Christian, I think that you and I really might be one of the two people that are on the same page as thinking that this was one of the better head coaching jobs that Rex Ryan did this year. And I'm with you. I think that it was. And I'll keep talking about it because it's such a shame that, you know, Rex Ryan was handed a team this year that we looked in the secondary and we wondered why, and everybody made fun of me on this show for talking about Brandon Flowers and Antonio Cromartie. You know, look at the interceptions in the year Cromartie had out in Arizona. You look at the year Brandon Flowers had out in San Diego. I mean, I got ripped on the show for bringing up those guys' names over and over, but those are quality guys that could have helped this roster. And I look at this head coaching candidates out there, and I still bring myself to say, okay, I understand that you want to make the move. You want to fire Rex Ryan. 6 years, I get it. You went 4-12. You want to make a change. The fan base is begging for a change. Whatever you want to say. The GM, I thought, deserved to be fired because where's the positive direction that we see this team going? When you're going to start a year and then go into the next year and you're going to have such a lapse in talent, that's a GM problem. But when I look at Rex Ryan and I look at the Jets finishing, I believe, sixth in the league in defense with a 4-12 record, that's insane. I don't know if that's ever happened before. And I always wonder, I look at the head coaching candidates out there that the Jets have been talking to. I still think Rex Ryan is the best head coaching candidate out there right now.
And you put Rex Ryan in Atlanta with that offense, he'll turn around that defense in a heartbeat. I guarantee it. This was a defense that was number 18 and was the weakest part of the team this past year. If he can get marginal improvement and by Rex Ryan standards and get them to be a top 10 defense, all of a sudden I think the Atlanta Falcons are the team that dominate the NFC South for the next 3 years. Rex Ryan's never had a quarterback the likes of Matt Ryan before. And you put Rex and Matt together, I think that Ryan tandem is going to be very dangerous. There's playmakers on offense, and there are David Harris and an Antonio Cromartie away on defense. And I think Rex is going to be able to reunite a bunch of those guys he has here in New York and bring them down to Atlanta. I think they're just a couple players away on defense from being a very good team. So I think you're absolutely right. Rex Ryan is the best head coaching candidate out there right now. And I think he should be interviewing for the Jets job. I think he would get it. I think he deserves it. And I think there's a number of GMs, and I think there's a number of GMs out there who should be saying, hey, we'll interview Rex. Let's bring this guy back because he can sell a franchise to free agents like no one else. You saw Santonio Holmes turn down big money back when Holmes was a playmaker to come back to the Jets. They got Plaxico Burress, who is in demand. Why? Because Rex did the convincing. Antonio Cromartie re-signed. Why? Because he loved playing for Rex. Chad Ochocinco would have been horrible here, but he wanted to come play for the Jets because of Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan is the best salesman that this team has, and quite frankly, I think he should be up for the coaching job here in New York. I think Woody should give him a call and say, come interview with us, because I think Casserly and Wolf would agree.
I can't agree with you more. I think it's a. I think that they really.
And that's
really
why I like you. I've always sensed genius from you, and that's why I keep coming back. I want a weekly spot now.
That sounds good to me. We can just keep talking about how the Jets should bring back Rex Ryan until they finally listen to us here on Jet Nation Radio.
Oh, you guys got to pump the brakes a little bit. You guys got to pump the brakes.
And Joe Namath. Joe Namath needs to come back and be the week one starter. Darn
that
it.
Sounds good to me. That would put a lot of people in the seats, though. But my next question for you, Christian, is do you look at a guy – And I've been bringing this up, Dan Quinn, who's obviously, you know, did a great job interviewing, you know, fantastic, whatever you want to say, blew the doors off. He's the number one guy, essentially, for the Jets, let's say. Do you look at a guy like Dan Quinn and say, well, let's take a look at his resume so far in Seattle? This is a guy who's coaching a defense that has maybe the most talented defense since the 85 Bears. On, you know, at every position you're looking at a top talent. Do you think that he might be a little overrated as a defensive coordinator because of the talent that's on his team? I mean, imagine we keep, you know, bringing it up again. Imagine if Rex Ryan was coaching the defense out in Seattle with the amount of talent they had. I don't even know if they'd give up a completion like that MetLife commercial that they play on ESPN all the time. Every single time he went out there with with that type of talent. Do you think that Dan Quinn is a little bit overrated because of the players that he's coaching?
Yeah, bringing in Dan Quinn for an interview and you know, asking him and looking at just the numbers is kind of like bringing in the Broncos offensive coordinator and saying, well, you're going to do a good job here because, well, you got the top-rated offense in the NFL. Well, he also has Peyton Manning, and we've seen how that worked out for Josh McDaniels once he left the Patriots way, and that didn't exactly work out for him in his career. But what Dan Quinn walks into here with the New York Jets is a defense that, like we said before, it was number 6 overall, led the league in a number of categories, including tackles. This is not a bad defense at all. I think with a little tweaking, with a decent secondary, it's a top-3 defense. So it's not a significant drop-off from what he had in Seattle. I think, quite frankly, where this team is at right now and the need to turn things around sooner rather than later, getting a coach to turn something that's a moderate strength into an absolute strength is not a bad thing. And perhaps Dan Quinn, with a fresh set of eyes, without the loyalty and ties that Rex Ryan felt with his team, might be that guy to say, okay, let's take you from number 6 now to a top-3 defense. I think the offense is going to pan itself out if there's a decent quarterback and if they can get some young blood on the offensive line. There's an awful lot of talent there in the backfield. This is a top-rated run offense, rushing offense. You're going to be in a position to either keep Percy Harvin this year, trade him and draft someone like an Amari Cooper and have your skill position set for the next 4 or 5 seasons with Curley returning, with Decker returning, with Jason Morrow. I think being an above average NFL tight end within the next season or two, if you can make your hallmark be this defense, which I think Dan Quinn has the personnel to do, when you look top to bottom, the available talent there and the cap space as well to bring in his guys, I have no problem with bringing him in. Okay, maybe he's overrated, but let him focus on what he's good at. If this can be a top-3 defense and the offense can be, you know, somewhere in the 16 ballpark, you know, 16 overall, which takes another jump forward, but I think is doable with some of the pieces they have, this is a playoff team. It's a wild card team, and it's a team that could be poised 3 or 4 years down the road to be atop the division, I believe. I'm throwing hope tonight, guys.
You know, and backpacking off you talking about Quinn, I was actually wondering what your preferences were for or who would be hired for the head coaching job, because personally mine would be, you know, a guy like Bowles from the Cardinals, or a guy like Quinn, or even a guy like Marone, even though he's not at the top of my list. I like all 3 of those guys, and for the GM spot, I was also wondering who the Jets could bring in to do the best job, because I personally think that it would be a guy from the Seahawks in Trent Kirchner. So I was just wondering who your favorites are, you know, for the GM and for the head coaching spots.
Yeah, Kirchner is definitely the name that is rising kind of towards the top. Yeah, and you kind of have to think there's a little irony here that perhaps Kirchner and Quinn will be, you know, 1 and 2 when John Idzik had just left the doors, you know, and what John Idzik left this team in terms of still having the majority of their draft picks, not trading them away, the amount of cap space that we're looking at, you know, you're looking anywhere between 40 to 60 million available next year, depending on how they do things, if they're able to rework some contracts. Someone like Kirshner, who has such a strong track record in terms of player personnel in the draft and being able to find talent later on in the draft that can come in and that can contribute, I think that it only makes sense that you look to make that pairing and you look to bring in a little bit of that Seattle swagger. Well, let's be honest. Seattle was set up to be good for a very long time. It's kind of reminiscent of what we saw with the Dallas Cowboys in the mid-90s, where they were going to be able to kind of reset and retool there for 5 or 6 years, which is an eternity in the NFL. I think Quinn can do good things on defense. You just heard me say that a few minutes ago. I think with some good drafting on the offensive side of the ball and a couple free agents, this offense can be a good offense. I'm not sure if it's a great offense. I'm not sure if it ever needs to be with the defensive personnel they have right now in the short term. But I certainly think that someone who's got that player personnel background, that proven track record of being able every year to get draft picks. And I think you look at the selection of Russell Wilson, and you hear about Terry Bradway there in the bowels of the Jets facility, you know, banging on the table and saying, I want Russell Wilson. We need this guy. Well, the Seahawks got him. And the Seahawks have gotten plenty of other guys like him, mid to late round draft picks, that are now not just on the two deep, but that are contributing. You look at what the Jets have done the last two drafts. They may have lots of guys on the two deep from these past two drafts, but they're not contributing. That's the area where they have to improve. And if they're going to be a good team and maximize free agency, they need to have that depth. And I think Kirshner's the guy to do it.
Awesome. And getting off, you know, the possible head coaching and head coaches and the possible GMs, I actually wanted to ask you about a thing in free agency, you know, that really kickstarts in February and definitely towards the end of February and obviously in March. I just wanted to know your opinion on some of the big topics, you know, going around in the Jets organization right now. And what is your personal opinion of cutting a guy like Harvin and maybe renegotiating his contract, because we both know that his $10.5 million is probably a little bit too high for the Jets to keep him around. So I want to know what you personally thought about keeping Percy Harvin. And another thing I wanted to know too is how do you feel about re-signing a guy like David Harris? Because I personally think that the Jets should really do it. He obviously led the team in tackles, and DeMario Davis is a little bit too inconsistent for me, and he makes me worry a little bit. So I really think that we should re-sign David Harris, but I want to know to get your opinions on those topics.
Well, how much is David Harris going to cost you? I think that's the big question. He's a guy who probably has one more, maybe two more good years at a very high level, and then we're going to see a drop-off, and it's probably going to be a drop-off somewhat similar to what we saw from Bart Scott, where, you know, he had an okay season and then an injury-riddled season. So what is the salary cap number going to look like? Is he happy here? Does he want to be that guy that retires a Jet? Well, he may want to, but if he's going to be asking for $10 million a season, I'm not sure if that's the direction I want to go. When you're going to have Muhammad Wilkerson set for a payday, you're probably going to have to overpay for him to keep him here. You're going to have Sheldon Richardson in a couple years. You just gave Jeremy Curley some money. So all of a sudden you've got that situation where maybe David Harris isn't the most pressing need. And can David Harris play in the 4-3 if you bring in a head coach who's going to go that direction? Does he have the wheels to do that anymore? I thought he was better in coverage this year than in years past. It looked like he slimmed down, lost some weight. But where does David Harris stick moving forward? I'm not comfortable overpaying this guy. I'm not comfortable making him one of the top paid linebackers at his position. He's got a couple more good years, but you might need to go to the draft. You might need to go to free agency, pay a little bit more, but then you've got that higher level performance for 4 or 5 years, because I don't think this thing turns around in 1 year necessarily. And you want someone to be at the center of that position, especially in a 3-4. So I'm not comfortable overpaying David Harris. On the flip side, offensively, Percy Harvin, that's a very interesting conundrum. You know, the kickoff returner isn't as important anymore in the modern game with the way that the kickoffs are now aligned. I mean, we're seeing more and more touchbacks each and every week, and that was something that Percy Harvin was so special at. You can get him the ball. He can do a lot of different things. He brings you a special talent. But with all that being said, the injuries are a concern. I think the mental state of this guy, if you give him a long-term deal, is a concern. I would be very open to being able to ship him if you're able to trade him for a mid to late round draft pick. The 10.5 million number is nice, for him certainly, but I'm not sure it's a good direction for the Jets to go. So cutting him, eating some of that, but also at the same time, perhaps looking at maybe giving him a short-term deal, 2 years at $16 million, you bump up the guaranteed money. Something like that, I think you could be more comfortable with, but this is going to be a draft where there's going to be some good players. Cooper, if he's available at number six, might make your decision on Percy Harvin an awful lot easier. You take Cooper, you offer Harvin a short-term deal to stay. If he doesn't, he gets cut, and see if some team's willing to put up with his headaches. There's a very good player from East Carolina, wide receiver, who'll be a second, third round guy. I think he could be an interesting guy in terms of that skill position, in terms of being someone that perhaps you could put in a slot and move Jeremy Curley off to the other side. So I think that there's a lot of options for the Jets. Percy Harvin's a nice talent. He was a good trade for the Jets to make, but this is some of the flexibility that John Idzik is leaving behind that he's not going to be able to enjoy.
Absolutely, and I think that that's one of the pains, obviously, that comes with being a GM here for 2 years. You're not going to be able to follow through with your actions and your plans. Christian, before we let you go, we're talking with Christian Dyer here from Metro New York. I wanted to ask you a twofold question here. First thing is, I wanted to basically get your take on, a lot of people have said that this is a job that some people might be staying away from, that this team and this organization is in too much disarray for a high caliber candidate to come and take over this position, or, you know, the big names out there, you know, aren't going to be interested in taking this job because of a guy like Woody Johnson. You know, I look at it from a vantage point where you got all these picks and all this money, you know, what better opportunity than to come to New York and fix a mess with $40 million in cap room and, you know, all these draft picks. So my first part of that question is, you know, do you think this is an attractive job? My second question to you is, you recently spoke with Glenn Naughton on JetNation.com, and one thing that you had mentioned, he had asked you in regards to, the media and, the separate agendas that they take, and you had mentioned that you had cut this last general manager a lot of slack. I just wanted to kind of get, what exactly you meant by that.
Well, I to touch on the first part and about whether this is an attractive job for a general manager coming in. I think it's an attractive job. I think it's going to be more attractive if the Jets do well with this next selection and get someone who's going to be here for 5, 6, 7 years, put together a good cycle, and then has to move on, just as the natural ebb and flow of the league. The Jets need to distance themselves from some of the controversy of the past couple of years, whether that's Tim Tebow or the foot fetish videos, the arrests, and kind of this idea of this being a loosey-goosey sort of team. If the Jets are able to do that, put together a moderately sustained run of success, and that's not a very high standard, I realize. It's, just be a playoff team, distance themselves from some of these controversies, stop looking quite so much like the clowns are running the show. I think this becomes a very attractive job for the Jets. But right now, people still think of that narrative. It's a narrative that's been propped up by the national media, I think, more than the local media. And the Jets have become whipping boys. If they can shed that label over the next couple years, whoever comes in after this GM, I think will be a higher caliber guy, but it will be a far more attractive job. If Woody can do well here and build something, this could set up the Jets to be long-term in a very good position. Florham Park is a great community. The players love living around it. The facility is among the best in the league. MetLife Stadium has a certain amount of character to it in terms of playing in the shadows of New York City. So there's a lot of reasons why players would want to be here. And Woody Johnson's not a cheap owner. I know we like to kind of, ping him with that label, but he's certainly not. He's put his money where his mouth is more times than not with big name free agents and head coaches, et cetera. This will be an attractive team if the Jets can shed that label of kind of being a mess, of being a clown show. As far as media narratives, it's one of those things where I feel personally, and I can only speak for myself, but I feel personally that the beat here, the Jets beat, probably gets a little bit of a bad rap, if you will, once in a while. Of course, there are always going to be agendas who come in. Everyone who steps into that press box has an agenda. And what I referenced in my interview on JetsNation.com was I had an agenda that I wanted to like John Idzik. I really did. I loved the way that this guy spoke. He was no nonsense. He was a button-up type. Brian Costello nailed it when he wrote that he was an IBM type. He's kind of walked in with that suit and that white shirt and that red tie, and he looked like an IBM guy from the 50s. And I like that. And I have an affinity for that. And I liked his no-nonsense style. I like that he didn't give us answers because, you know what, the media doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all for a general manager. He can do things away without our permission, and sometimes we forget that. I liked his approach, and I was willing to give him an awful lot of slack. And it was up until probably about that middle point of the season where you began to see that there wasn't a plan, that the draft picks that you thought maybe would come along like they did last year. I'm thinking about Brian Winters coming along and showing a little bit of progress at the end of the year. Tommy Bohannon looking and developing a little bit more. Geno Smith, that final month, he said, okay, maybe there's something here. I don't see it yet, but maybe there's something here. You didn't get that sense about this current group of draft picks. You didn't get it about the free agents either. There wasn't a big Willie Colon signing last year who did a good job, or Chris Ivory, that trade. So, you didn't get the sense that there was a future, that there was a purpose, that there was a clear-cut direction with what John Idzik wanted to do. And I had to change my agenda. I thought my agenda originally was to give this guy some time. Let's see how it plays out. It's a great plan. Let's see if he can execute it. And it turned out that after 2 years, he couldn't execute it.
Well, Christian, I think that, you're right on point, obviously, in terms of, John Idzik, and we're sitting here in midseason and we're seeing, as fans, we're just watching this team progressively get worse, and we're watching guys that were brought in here not improve. And it gets frustrating to watch, from a fan's point of view, and I'm sure, covering this team. I mean, it's no fun to cover a team that's not successful. I'm sure you'd much rather be gear up to cover a playoff game than sitting here cover head coaching and GM searches. But Christian, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. It's Christian Dyer from Metro New York. And hopefully we have some clarity to this situation soon, and we look to hear from you again.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to the next time. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Christian Dyer from Metro New York, and you can check him out on Twitter at Christian R. Dyer. Follow him. I mean, I think he's the best, Jets beat writer out there. Fantastic point of views on everything, especially.
Oh, you guys have been drinking.
I only drink water during the show. So
I want to give a quick shout out to Hans. He's been direct messaging me today. Hans, I love you. You're the best. I'll get back to you tomorrow. I've had enough of you today, but I love you, Hans.
Hey, thank you so much, Christian. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Christian Dyer from Metro New York. All right, Joe, guess what time it is? It is time to dive in to Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. And this week, it's playoff picks, Joe. And go ahead and just tell the nation out there what my record was from this past weekend. Please enlighten everybody.
You were 4-0, and I was 2-2.
What was I?
I am not saying it again. I am not. You haven't won the playoff picks yet. There's still a couple more weeks.
Please, I think there was a technical difficulty. My record this past weekend was what?
It was 4-0, but I'm still doing it.
All right, hold me.
That's
close,
why your throat is sore. You were screaming at all the games. You were so happy that the Cardinals only got me 78 yards. Are you kidding me?
I don't care. 4-0, baby. Let's dive right into it. So, Joe decided to text me after I went 4-0 that I had to pick the games first this time because I guess he was sick of looking at my sheet, and he doesn't want to fall too behind this week. So he wants to hear what I have to say first before we pick the games. So let's dive right into it. The undefeated Brandon is going to start off with Baltimore. Baltimore going into New England. Joe, I told you last week that I thought the Baltimore Ravens were going to start a special journey in Pittsburgh. I thought that they are an underrated team in these playoffs. They know how to win on the road. They know how to win these games. I thought they were going to go to Pittsburgh and do it, and I set myself up for this weekend's game against New England. I am going to take, in an upset, they're 7-point dogs on a road. I am going to take the Baltimore Ravens in this football game. I think Baltimore knows how to win this game. I think it's Saturday at 4:30. You're not looking at a primetime 8:30 game. That has a lot to do with it, in my opinion. I think the Ravens, like the Jets, when they play the Patriots, they play at a different level, and they do things to New England that you don't see other teams do, especially on the defensive side of the ball. John Harbaugh, you know, outside of Bill Belichick, I think is one of the best coaches in these, if not the best coach in these playoffs. He knows how to win these football games. He's going to go into New England with the attitude. He's going to get that sword out and play that nobody thinks we can win card. Fight for the man next to you. We've beaten these guys before. We've beaten them on more than one occasion. I think that the Ravens are pumped up for this football game. I think the Patriots seem like they didn't really play against the Bills. They kind of rested. They've been off now for, let's say, 2 weeks. I think that that's really going to hurt them. And in the recent years, New England is a great regular season team but hasn't gotten done in the postseason. I like Baltimore and Joe Flacco in this football game.
You know what? At least you're coming out here and you have some cojones and you're picking some, you know, some the underdogs and all of these things. And I actually really appreciate that. And you know, I was gonna pick the Ravens too, Brandon, just because you know I think that they definitely could beat the Patriots and they seem like they have, you know, some would call it the Patriots kryptonite. But I'm gonna take the Patriots in this one just because you know I have to catch up to you. And I think the real reason that you're picking the Ravens is because you know you say you hate Gary Kubiak, but I think you have some kind of secret love going for him over there. So I think you like Gary Kubiak. You know, it's a little bit secretive as of now. But you know with the Ravens and their whole magical run and all of that, I think they had that when Ray Lewis's last year on the team, and they had that magical run where they beat the Patriots and they beat the Broncos and obviously they beat the 49ers, but I don't think it's the same as that year. Obviously you don't have leaders like Ray Lewis, you don't have leaders like Ed Reed, and a major difference of them beating the Patriots a couple of years ago is the Patriots have two guys, I don't know if you ever heard their name, of Brandon Browner and Darrell Revis, so I think they're going to be able to shut down Gary Kubiak's passing game, and I think the Patriots will take this one in Foxborough.
Difference is that Ray Lewis was the leader of that team. Joe Flacco, yep, the quarterback, is the leader of this team. Carolina, still alive in the playoffs, goes into Seattle. They are double-digit underdogs. Listen, I am a big fan of Carolina getting into the playoffs and winning a home playoff game. As a Jets fan, you would love more than nothing to see the Jets be, you know, in that type of position. But this week, I don't give them a shot. Seattle, I don't, you know, they ended the season on fire. They're going to take this game. 8:15 Saturday night, that place is going to be amped up and ready to go. I wasn't too impressed with Carolina. I thought it was just the two. I think there were a lot of better teams in the NFC than Carolina and Arizona in that first playoff game. I think the Philadelphia Eagles want their mulligan to get back into to play either of those two teams. But I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks in this one.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to agree with you here. You know, I still cannot believe that they shut down the Cardinals to 78 yards, which is obviously great, and they've obviously won, four or five games in a row now, so they've definitely hit a hot streak, and they look like a little bit like the Panthers they did last year when they were one of the top defenses in the league. But you know, it's a 7-8-1 team in the divisional round against the reigning champions in the Seahawks. The Seahawks really were struggling at the beginning of the year, but towards the end of the year, Brandon, it seems like every week they're shutting out the team to only two field goals. So they're definitely on their hot streak. I think they're going to come out rested. I think Marshawn Lynch is going to pound it down the Panthers' throat, and I think the Seahawks are going to win this one in pretty good fashion.
Now this next game. It's these next two games are very, very tough to pick. The spread will tell you otherwise, as they're both touchdown favorite. But Dallas goes into Green Bay. Now, the Cowboys won a football game that just, you know, everybody's talking about that pass interference or non-pass interference call, or they called it, picked up the flag. I mean, if that was the Jets, I think I would have drove down to wherever that game was being played and given the refs a piece of my mind, because obviously there was a penalty. Obviously there should have been a call on Dez Bryant. Obviously the refs blew it. But the Cowboys and the Cowboys fans, they don't care. Romo throws a late-game touchdown to take the lead. Dallas wins a home playoff game. They don't care about the non-call. They don't care about the penalties. And guess what? The Green Bay Packers don't care about that either, because Green Bay is getting ready to play the Cowboys. Now, if you're looking at this from a Dallas Cowboys fan perspective, are you confident in Tony Romo and that group to walk into Green Bay and win this football game? Honestly, I just think that Aaron Rodgers is too good. I want to pick the Dallas Cowboys. I want to take, you know, them in this underdog role, because I really think Dallas could have something special. But they just didn't show me enough at home. I thought they were going to come out against the Lions and prove that they were not only ready to make a playoff run, but they were going to show the Lions that they didn't belong on the field with them. Not only did they fall behind, they played a lackadaisical type football game, and without that penalty, I don't think they're even in the next round. I think Aaron Rodgers is too good to be one and done. I think the Green Bay Packers win at home.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you, Brandon, but this is definitely going to be a good game, and this is kind of the game that I was thinking about. I was like, you know what, maybe if Brandon picks all the same games, I mean, maybe I'll be really ballsy and I'll take the Cowboys here. But, you know,
they're not a bad pick, because I have something tells me that the Cowboys really, really could win this football game. It really does. But I just look at it and I say, is Aaron Rodgers, after this year and the whole relaxed thing and that whole, I mean, is he ready to go one and done? I just don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. And you haven't seen the Packers and you know, the conference championships in a few years now. I feel like it's their time to at least get to the conference championship. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not necessarily confident in picking the Packers. I feel like the Cowboys can win this. And one of those reasons is one of my friends has really bad luck, and he hates the Cowboys, and he's a Packers fan. So I kind of have a bad feeling that he's going to be really pissed off on Sunday when they might possibly lose to the Cowboys. And you know, I agree with you. I kind of do have that bad feeling as well. But, you know, the Cowboys, I agree with you in the fact that I thought they were going to beat up on the Lions a little bit more than they did. In the first quarter, they really looked like they were getting smacked around. It really looked like the Lions were going to take that game. And that penalty was absolutely ridiculous. He might as well have just hugged him. You know, it was a really bad penalty. He wasn't looking back at the ball. It was absolutely ridiculous. I cannot even imagine being a Lions fan. And it wasn't even that, Brandon. There was a couple times where I saw Lions players getting completely held on the line and other penalties, and they were just not calling them. And I really think they want to see this, you know, 8-0 road team versus 8-0 home team, which is going to be a great game. But you know, I think karma is gonna bite the Cowboys in the butt here, and I think the Packers are gonna win this one in Lambeau.
Well, Governor Chris, he better pack his winter hat and scarf, because he's going to Lambeau. If the Cowboys want to win this game, they better run the ball, and run the ball some more. Our last game here, Indianapolis finds themselves playing Peyton Manning yet again, as they go on the road and take on the Denver Broncos. I am a big fan of Denver. I said, you know, towards the end of the year, I didn't think Denver was going to lose again the rest of the year. I'm going to stick with that. I think Peyton Manning is ready for these playoffs. He's ready to try and end his career, hopefully with another Super Bowl title. I think the Denver Broncos, with losing to the New England Patriots like they did, with Peyton Manning, you know, kind of stepping back from the, you know, 4 or 5 touchdown games every night and lighting up the scoreboard and becoming more of a running team, really, almost like a run-first offense. I think Peyton Manning got a well-needed week of rest, and I think he's going to be ready to go, because I think Peyton knows that if not now, when? And I think Peyton Manning really has still, he feels like, and he might, in some people's opinion, something to prove in these playoffs. I don't see them losing to the Indianapolis Colts at home on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there, Brandon. And, you know, it kind of feels like to me this is going to be the Broncos' last year to be at the top tier, because, you know, they have guys like Demaryius Thomas, and they have a whole bunch of guys on their team right now who are going to be free agents. So they really have to start worrying about guys like You know, Von Miller, who has to be signed pretty soon. I'm pretty sure he hasn't been signed yet, but there's a whole bunch of free agents that they have to get signed up, and there's going to be a whole bunch of people that they lose. So I feel like this is really their last year to make a run for that Super Bowl. So I'm going to take the Broncos here. Obviously, it scares me a little bit because I don't know if the actual stat, but to me, it seems like Peyton Manning kind of chokes in some big games that he should really win. And when I look at this game, I was thinking, you know, Andrew Luck versus Peyton Manning. But then when you remove both of those names, and I think they're basically on the same tier playing as of right now, maybe Luck a little bit better. I'm not saying their whole career, but I'm just saying this season, they're basically at the same level. But then when you look at who the Broncos have at wide receiver compared to the Colts only have T.Y. Hilton. Then you look at the Colts defense to with only basically Vontae Davis compared to the Broncos with T.J. Ward and Tlaib and Chris Harris and Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. You know, the Broncos just have such a better team. It's not even close in comparison to the Colts roster. So I'm going to take the Broncos with their by far better roster than the Colts here.
All right, we ran a little long here on Jet Nation Radio, but that's okay. And, you know, there you have it for tonight's show. I want to thank Christian Dyer from Metro New York for coming on. I want to thank Jerry behind the scenes, as always. I want to thank Joe always as well. And remember, the sports talk never stops on Jet Nation Radio. Head on over to JetNation.com. You can see Christian's interview with Glenn on Jet Nation, as you can, you know, see what I was referring to when he talked about kind of cutting John Idzik some slack in answering Glenn's question about does each media member, or do they have their own agenda in trying to create controversy? That's all on JetNation.com. And the forums are exploding every day with new people joining in on the football talk, because remember, the talk never stops on Jet Nation Radio. Head on over to JetNation.com. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on Jet Nation Radio.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.